the mysteries of the unknown, UFOs, alien abductions, wonders of the world, ancient archaeology, ghosts, apparitions, secret military projects, futuristic science, government cover-ups, hoaxes and frauds. Join us as we embark on another edition of the Paranet Continuum. Now, answering questions and questioning answers, here's your host, the director of Paranet Information Services, Michael Corbett.
And we continue on the Paranet Continuum, home of common sense, no-nonsense, paranormal talk radio. And it is a very incredible pleasure to have tonight with us Tommy Bland. Tommy is an investigator, has been doing this stuff for 30 years, and just incredible program tonight. And thank you very much, Tommy, for being with us.
You're welcome, Mike. It's a pleasure being with you.
Well, thank you. Let's kind of recap real quick. You were playing an audio tape for us of an interview you had. Why don't I let you do it? Just tell me a little bit. Give us just kind of recap.
I had basically given a lecture at a civic group and was approached by an individual. This was on December the 14th, 1981. And the individual came up to me afterwards and indicated that he had some information that he would like to discuss with me. And so we made an appointment to meet at the handball court there when I lived in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So I met with him. Both my wife and I both met with him. And apparently he had a friend with him also, and we sat down at the table, and he indicated what he wanted to talk with me about, and as the conversation progressed, I looked out my tape recorder and asked him for permission to tape it, and he said okay, as long as you know, his name wasn't mentioned or anything like that, because
mm-hmm.
he was still active, and also he was a commercial pilot based out of the city I was living there in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, I had a very, very enjoyable evening discussing a number of things with this gentleman. He was a very no-nonsense individual. He his credentials stood up, you know, I knew that he was being truthful with me.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the things he relayed to me confirmed in my own mind, you know, some of the things I had heard other people discuss with me. So
okay. Now, he claims that in 1961, he walked into a room, I guess it was.
62. Right.
And saw a saucer sitting on two engine stands.
Right. It was a hangar at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base.
Okay.
And it was there with some guard that was standing around the disc that was sitting on the jet engine stands.
Okay.
With some plywood that was underneath the jet engines and also holding this 30-foot diameter disc up that didn't have any type of rivets or anything.
Okay. Very interesting. Okay, now we've got a couple more minutes of audio on that particular interview?
No, that's it on that clip.
Okay.
Right there. Like I said, it's the original one is a lot longer. This next one, though, is when I was on the Ed Bush program, WFA, called America Overnight. And we were discussing similar things to what we're discussing now. And, you know, how from time to time you have people that call in, and sometimes some of those people that call in are very interesting callers.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And later you get to, you know, they call you up or write you a letter or whatever, and you meet with them. And there's a lot of really good information that can be gleaned from these things like this. Whereas before, you know, you would never have run across these individuals.
Right, right.
And we were discussing the animal mutilation thing. As a matter of fact, in the Killeen and Coppers Cove area and so forth, where I was investigating some of those cases in 1975, there in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And then the caller basically called in and it indicated that he asked me, did I know this particular base? And I said, yes, and then it goes from there.
Okay.
So I'll turn that on. It's not very long.
All right.
Yeah. I realize, you know, some of the data is gone, to just must be tons and tons of it, but I would like to know if you have studied or heard of anything of the animal mutilation on a military reservation, and, well, actually, Central Texas Fort Hood. This would be, I guess, summer of 75. Well, I'd like to ask you that first.
Yes, I am aware of that because there are some of, I've got some pictures here that certain investigations I conducted in and around that area in Cocker's Cove and Killeen and so forth.
Okay, because this might have a little bit of validity to what you were saying, but this happened in December 75. I was stationed with an aviation engineer, and I was working for RFT, which is the intelligence.
Right.
And I don't know, it's maybe 10 o'clock, and I was driving to a friend of mine on Highway 440. And we seen, what we call a flying saucer, right?
Yeah.
And it was accompanied by Army helicopters. You know, at first, we had to do a double take with my partner. And I spent a lot of time flying a helicopter, so I know what one looks like at night.
Right.
Okay, if it's not, in the radio, there was no way it could have been.
What would you say basically it looked like?
It was, the oblong disc type thing.
All right.
Like with reddish light.
Yeah.
Okay. So the next day, when I got back to base, I have a friend that worked in the air traffic control there at our airfield. So I asked her if anything had happened. They didn't know anything.
Yeah.
And I was good friends with quite a few pilots, and I asked them, and no one knew nothing. And I thought that was really strange, because usually if there was something happened, someone would say something or you'd get it through the grapevine.
Yeah.
Something like that would happen.
Right.
And one was the word, if anybody knew anything about it, but to this day, don't believe anybody knew anything about it.
All right. I have here a report that Tommy's handed me from 1974, and it says, top secret research being conducted on UFOs at Gray Air Force Base.
Right.
And Fort Hood. You want me to read any more than that, right?
Yeah, I'd like to hear it.
Yeah, he doesn't want me to read this.
Oh, okay. But, because for the longest time, I doubted my sanity for a few days.
Yeah.
Well, he did.
This is Tommy, the source of this, you have to say, the source of this would be someone who was familiar with the operations there?
Right.
Yes, there was three independent sources there. There is operations there that is going on. Another source, I can also say this, is that I was told by another individual that his father worked on the base. And are you familiar with the Red Eye radar units there, 57th Signal Battalion and so forth?
I got it myself.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay. There was a friend of mine that told me that there was one of these craft sitting there in an area there on Fort Hood, which there was some Army trucks coming up to it and loading certain things into the craft itself before it took off.
Wow. So you saw something like this, sir, right?
Yeah, one was the word,
What happened to you when you started asking questions? Did they just say you didn't really see that and they ignored you, or what?
Well, at first I didn't have a reputation for being crazy.
Yeah.
In any way, not until then.
Yeah.
Most people that I asked to not hear anything, because I was serious about it. I wasn't joking around.
Yeah. And they thought you were kidding?
And, well, I wouldn't even ask no more about it.
Yeah.
I might have your job here no more. I asked them, I stopped digging into it.
All right. Can I give it a...
That's very, very interesting. And that's down there at Gray Air Force Base?
Right. That was in December of 1975, which would place it right in the middle of these other two reports, November 1973, December 1975, and December 1980.
Now, Tommy, where is... Now,
if you'll notice, all of them are right around November, December in the cold months.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're all coming from the same place.
Now, let's see, the Cash Landrum deal, that happened, was that outside of Houston?
That was near Dayton.
Dayton?
December 29, 1980.
Dayton, Texas.
Right.
Now, how close is that to this Gray Air Force Base?
It's not too far. Maybe about 150 miles, something like that.
Hmm. That's very, very interesting.
Plus, I mean, you know, the fact that there were 100 helicopters that did come in from the field for effect.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I mean, when I inquired in 73, along with the newspaper reporter, they had also indicated that they had military operation in progress. So, I mean, we have November 1973, we have December 1975 with this individual who was also a helicopter pilot with RS-2 Intelligence, and then the December 29th, 1980 situation with Betty Cash and Vicki Landrum, which also had to do with helicopters and an object.
I've never heard of RS-2. What is that?
It's basically it's a type of... he was involved with radar, you know, some of that, it's radar tracking acquisition.
Oh, I see. And that's intelligence.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why, you know, he knew what helicopters looked like, and he had pilot friends and everything else. He asked questions. But, you know, I had also three other independent sources, too, other than him when he called in, prior to his call-in that... I had information on, you know, about activity around that area there, especially an object that was sighted on the ground, landed with trucks coming up to it, unloading stuff into the craft.
And this is on that base?
Right.
This was on that base.
Right. Now, it sounds kind of similar to, which also in December of 1980 when this... Betty Cash and Vicki Landrum incident took place. You know, also the Kirtland incident took place, too.
What happened to Kirtland?
You remember the Benowitz, Paul Benowitz?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That was December 1980 also.
Now, for the audience, kind of refresh us on Benowitz, because that was a pretty interesting case as well.
Well, apparently they had been, getting some reports in the area over basically in the Sandia area where you got the Sandia security over there.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently one of the Sandia security people came up on a landed object that was near one of the storage areas. Apparently this object took off. Well, this report made it to... AFOSI agent Richard C. Doty,
mm-hmm.
who wrote up the report, which basically was more or less a complaint form, you know, that was written up as to, you know, some things that were being seen. And also Lieutenant Colonel Edwards, well, actually he was Major then, Major Edwards, basically had alerted his people, and he was the head of the security there at Kirtland Air Force Base. He had alerted his people to be on the lookout for any type of unusual lights or whatever around some of the
installations.
Right, okay. Storage areas and so forth.
We got to take a break right there.
Okay,
hang on to that. We'll be right back after this. 303-860-1280, 303-860-1280. My guest is Tommy Bland. There's more to come. Stay tuned. I'm Michael Corbin. You're listening to the Paranet Continuum.
When we were in California, we saw the vineyards.
Oh, the Napa Valley.
Well, we've been there.
Many times.
No, as you can see from this slide, we were on the coast north of Santa Barbara.
Oh, look at that.
You probably know this, Don, but because of the coastal climate,
oh, yes.
This area produces some of California's finest Chardonnays.
Actually, I didn't know that.
Here are some of Barringer's vineyards.
Uh-huh.
Kendall Jackson's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Corbett Canyon.
Canyon. Wait a minute. Could you give me that?
Slides at the winery in the Edna Valley.
Oh, what an interesting old building.
Yeah, it's the winery where we picked up this Chardonnay.
Unusual bottle.
And square on the bottom and round on the top.
Huh. It's the Santa Barbara County Reserve Chardonnay from Corbett Canyon. Canyon.
That's a magnificent Chardonnay.
Mm.
Crisp.
Mm.
buttery.
All their reserve Chardonnays are barrel-aged.
Yeah, what did you say that name was again?
Corbett Canyon. Canyon.
That's what I thought you said.
Good taste echoes from the canyon. Corbett Canyon.
Corbett Canyon Vineyards, San Luis Obispo, California.
This place is cool.
That's hit deep. What the heck was that?
Home run. A grand slam.
Did you see that?
Avalanche goal. Peter Forsberg.
That was amazing.
Number 20, Alfonso Ellis.
Two beers.
Hey, how about some buffalo wings?
This place is jumping, dude.
Hi, guys. You having a good time?
Houston, we have a touchdown.
I think we found the place for us.
The action is at Jackson's Hole Lodo, the best place to go for fun, food, and ice-cold cocktails. Every Friday and Saturday night, ladies drink free in the Skybox from 9 to 11. And downstairs, everyone gets $1.50 drafts on any draft beer or $2 you call it. Catch the action at Jackson's Hole in Lodo, across from Coors Field.
Get to Jackson's for Free Love Thursday. It's disco with a funky house mix. There's no cover all night, and ladies drink free from 9 to 11. And guys drink for $1 from 9 to 11 in the Skybox at Jackson's Hole Lodo.
I'm talking with PC Modem, the computer genius from CompUSA.
Thank you, Bob. Now, if you have any plans this weekend, you might want to change them.
How come?
Did you forget? CompUSA now has 216 stores nationwide.
Oh, yeah.
So the superstore that brings you more computer technology is now right around the corner.
Does everyone know this?
They will soon, Bob. See, this Friday and Saturday, all CompUSAs are celebrating with incredible grand opening offers.
Like what?
Like a free VCR when you buy any Apple computer.
A free VCR? Wow.
Wow is right, Bob. You can also get $200 off any notebook computer.
$200 off?
Plus get Symantec Norton Antivirus for just $9.99 after the mail-in and instant rebates. Microsoft Home Publishing Suite 99 for just $29.99 after the rebates. And lots of other incredible deals store-wide.
Boy, PC, thanks for reminding me about all this.
So you did have plans, huh?
Yeah, but hey, there'll be other space shuttles to ride on.
You're going to ride in a space shuttle?
No, they're going to duct tape me to the cargo door.
Remember, CompUSA sells all computer books at 10% off. Publishers cover a price every day. Call 1-800-COMPUSA or shop online at CompUSA.
The Envelope, Please. Starz Movie Channel is 100% movies. New hit movies you'll see first on Starz and only on Starz. Like the surprise Oscar-winning drama Good Will Hunting, starring Matt Damon as a troubled genius and Robin Williams as the only man who can reach him. It's one of the best movies of the year. So call 1-800-758-5555 to order Starz. And remember...
1280 Ralph.
Cooler weather's coming, so it's time to think about stopping into your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer for great prices on brakes during Quality Care Fall Value Days. Get brake service for your Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury for just $95 or less. That includes installing genuine Ford front or rear brake linings on most cars and light trucks.
Taxes extra. Excludes machine, rotors, and drums. Price is good to November 15, 1998. See dealer for the price and details.
At your service, Quality Care. I hope I see you there.
Join us this week as On the Edge gets hypothetically erotic.
We're talking to Bobby Rock, author of the new book, Hypothetical Erotica.
Look at these phones light up. Look at this. Everyone looks lit up.
It happens every time. I'm telling you.
You never know just what might happen when you are on the edge.
Well, it's just not natural for a woman to do that kind of thing.
Whoa. Get this guy off the air before every woman in earshot comes looking for us.
Thursday night at 8, Saturday night at 5:30, and Sundays at 10 p.m.
With the weather getting worse, it's time to get with a warm cup of cocoa, your favorite comforter, and curl up by the warm glow of 1280 Ralph.
Coach Marty Fletcher has the Pioneers ready for the challenges of college basketball's toughest division, Division I men's basketball, facing some of the best teams in the nation like Wyoming, BYU, CSU, and Air Force. Make sure you catch all of the college basketball action. 1280 Ralph is heating up the winter with the exciting action of DU Sports. University of Denver Sports, right here all winter long on Denver Sports Alternative, 1280 Ralph.
Cooler than cruising on Federal, 1280 Ralph.
We continue with my guest, Tommy Bland. And Tommy, this has been a very, very interesting program tonight. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you. Thank you. Enjoy being here.
I go back to the Kirtland thing. I wanted to ask you, now Doty is a familiar name to probably a lot of people who saw that disinformation movie back in 88. I call it a disinformation film, documentary, supposedly documentary, UFOs cover up live. Dr. Benowitz, he has a PhD, and I think he had a PhD in some type of electronics background or something.
No, he didn't have a PhD.
Oh, he didn't. Okay. So just,
he was a physicist.
He was a physicist.
He was president of Thunder Scientific Labs.
Now,
he also conducted, he had Air Force contracts.
So he was doing, did he not claim that he either filmed or was able to intercept radio transmissions?
He actually filmed the objects, and we acquired some of those films, you could see the the sparking effect underneath the object as it lifted up.
Mm-hmm.
Similar to the, I guess you might say, the light craft, which has been developed out there at the Los Alamos and Kirtland area.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of plasma research being done there.
Mm-hmm.
He also picked up some EM electromagnetic emissions.
Right.
That's what brought some interest by some officials at the base, and they this is when Mr. Miller, who was had apparently Doty had got in touch with Mr. Miller, and who had previous background experience with Project Blue Book as an investigator with the Air Force Project Blue Book, he had belonged to the 4602nd AIS.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently Doty had got in touch with him and pulled him in, and Mr. Miller went and visited with Mr. Benowitz and looked at the information that Benowitz had, and that's when I think that, you know, also William Moore or Bill Moore, as he's known by those people in the ufological community, came in on the scene also when he released those documents.
Mm-hmm. The MG-12 documents.
Well, the actual, the release, the NASA telex, and then the FOSI complaint forms.
Oh, that's right. Okay, yeah.
So this was before the MJ-12 thing.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And also the individual that apparently made the initial sighting of the object on the ground at the very beginning was, like I said, a DOE. Sandia guard.
Mm-hmm.
He apparently committed suicide.
Really?
A couple of months later.
Interesting.
This is when the tremendous amount of disinformation started being directed at Mr. Benowitz, and actually almost drove him crazy.
I recall that now. Benowitz did have a lot of problems.
Yeah, and when I flew out to Albuquerque, I went on base and talked with Major Edwards, then I went and visited with Benowitz, and the man was very distressed. You could tell he had been through a hell of a lot, I had been following his activities for quite some time anyway.
Mm-hmm.
If any of these cases, when somebody finds out about some good cases, something that you might want to check out and investigate thoroughly, then you do what you can to follow the activity and keep doing follow-up investigations.
Right.
I didn't think it was proper. I didn't think it was the right thing to do. I did not agree with what was being done to this man. It upset me quite a bit.
Now, as I recall, didn't Bill Moore claim that he had some complicity in that or some
exactly.
involvement?
Right. And Bill and I, you know, we've been real good friends over the years, you know, and when he admitted that, I had to take a few steps backward.
I would imagine so.
I do not agree with those kind of tactics.
I don't either.
Not when you almost drive a person to have a complete nervous breakdown.
That's very interesting. Now, going back to the Cash Landrum deal, too, whatever happened to that? Because you mentioned that Vicki Landrum that had the worst of the...
No, it was Betty.
Betty Cash.
Right. Betty Cash was the one that had the worst effects because she got out of the car and walked in front of the car.
Uh-huh.
When the object was belching flames, you know, in the middle of the road, and they were not very far from it. Vicki had stated to me, she said if they hadn't seen it, if, in other words, if the fire had been coming out from underneath it, they could have drove right underneath it
mm-hmm.
and not even known it, you know.
Right.
Because it wasn't like it was glowing, you know. It was the fire that was coming out from the bottom of it that was lighting up the sides of it, you know. It definitely had a metallic structure to it, body, so to speak, and so it was, you know, it was a solid body.
Are they still alive?
To my knowledge, yes, they are.
Did they not try to file a lawsuit against the government?
Right. They tried to, but they were not successful. It's my understanding too that one of the investigators that came down for the Army was investigated that incident was also Colonel John Alexander.
Hmm. No kidding.
Right.
Oh, geez. Why doesn't that surprise me?
It's a small world, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. Why doesn't that surprise me? You know? Oh, man. You know, I'll tell you, in all of the cases that I've ever reviewed or heard about, that one, to me, represented probably the greatest tragedy, you know, and that was the damage to human life. That I fully believe was at the hands of some terrestrially based agency or organization, perhaps working on some type of advanced research.
Well, not only that, you know, even in the films that Benowitz also had filmed, and he, the things he saw through his binoculars and so forth, he actually saw men in jeeps to be seen moving around in front of the
object.
The object.
Yeah.
And this is the. This is exactly what I had an individual tell me that he saw at Gray Field.
Yeah.
You know. These are mirror reports, you know what I'm saying? But these are being generated by people that I consider to be, you know, reliable.
Yeah.
But there's, you know, you can't gather any kind of scientific data on these kind of things like this. But at least they're interesting.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, because of the correlation. So.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Hang on, 303-860-1280, 303-860-1280. My guest is Tommy Bland. We will be back after this. Stay tuned.
The notion of killing a fly unsettles you. You've never rented a movie filled with gratuitous violence in your life, but the thought of millions of foul germs camping out on your dear teeth has your voice dropping a few octaves. And the trigger finger you didn't know you owned begins to itch. You grab hold of a tube of Listerine toothpaste. You're on a mission. You brush with Listerine. Foul germs kill. Teeth protected. You smile. No, you snarl and growl. All right, don't get carried away.
Listerine toothpaste. Bad for germs, good for teeth.
Other than a church, many couples choose to be married in a garden, on a boat, and of course...
Strapped to the back of a gorilla, this tiny sensor gives scientists data about the animal's
wooden leg. All four of them, in fact, which need to be sanded before being bolted.
From weddings to woodwork, BarnesandNoble.com has all the books you want online with fast delivery and deep discounts. BarnesandNoble.com, AOL keyword BN. If we don't have your book, nobody does.
1280 Ralph.
It used to be that only a select few jewelers had relationships all over the world to bring in the best diamonds at the lowest price. Well, our industry has changed. Some may even say it's been turned upside down. Hi, this is Charlene with Brendan Jewelers, urging you to visit one of our six locations to see what's happening at Brendan Jewelers. We've recently formed a relationship with one of the top diamond producers in the world. That means a lot to us at Brendan Jewelers, but what does it mean to you? It means that Brendan's now has more world-class diamonds at the best prices you may have ever seen. It also means that everyone in Colorado's jewelry business is just a little nervous because they know at Brendan Jewelers will guarantee our diamonds and your lowest price. So come in and see our new collection of brilliant diamonds. Just look for the Trusted Brendan's logo and tell them Charlene sent you.
Brendan Jewelers, a better diamond guaranteed a better price. Located in South Glen Mall, Villa Italia, Westminster Mall, Buckingham Square, Southwest Plaza, and Chapel Hills Mall in Colorado Springs.
First of all, I have not done a commercial, I think, in 5 years. And don't call me to endorse your products unless you have ungodly jack. I'm not going to think about it. But I will say this. Vance Mack says, run on over to Colorado Screen Print and buy your gear. When I'm in Denver, I always go to Colorado Screen Print.
When in Denver, do what Rome does. Call right now, 303-797-8810, and receive a free clone T-shirt with your order. And Greg at Colorado Screen Print will also toss in a second color for free. Colorado Screen Print can put your logo or saying on 12 or 12,000 T-shirts at a very low price. T-shirts for all occasions, that fundraiser or sponsorship, for bars, restaurants, or any business. Call now, 303-797-8810. Colorado Screen Print, 797-8810.
Vance Mack says, for the best in screen print in Denver, go to Colorado Screen Print. Tell them Vance Mack sent you. There's your one commercial, man. Take that to Monkey Mason and try and sell it. See if you can buy some time.
Out.
1280. Ralph.
If you're tired of the same old Lodo bar scene, check out Shakespeare's Pub and Billiards. Shakespeare's is located just a few blocks from the Lodo Jungle at 15th and Platt. At Shakespeare's, you can play a game of billiards on one of their world-class tables while enjoying one of the best happy hours in town. Monday through Friday from 4 to 6, Shakespeare's offers drink specials and a free buffet. If you're in the mood for an intimate dinner, Shakespeare's is the place, especially on Sundays when you can enjoy some of Denver's best jazz. Every Sunday evening, Shakespeare's hosts live jazz beginning at 6, simulcast on 1280 Ralph beginning at 8. And don't forget to begin your Bronco pregame festivities at Shakespeare's. Then take the historic Denver trolley to the game. Shakespeare's is close to Coors Field, McNichols, and Mile High Stadium. Find out why Shakespeare's has become one of Denver's favorite establishments. Shakespeare's, located at 15th and Platt. For more information, give them a call at 303-433-6000.
Tastes great and less filling. 1280 Ralph.
As we come upon the final stretch of the program for tonight, Tommy Bland is my guest. And Tommy, during this segment, I want to concentrate on basically kind of encapsulating things here and, you know, kind of put a cap on this as far as what we're dealing with.
Mm-hmm. Well, basically, I mean, some of the things you just heard, And some of my investigations have indicated that we're dealing with the advanced aircraft systems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ours, not anything extraterrestrial.
Mm-hmm. The extraterrestrial may be a cover for it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then see, that's a total different ballgame right there. And that's where your disinformation would come, which was demonstrated in the Kirtland incident, the Benowitz affair. How disinformation is provided to, you know, try to, you know, keep things, you know, from coming out in the open,
mm-hmm.
And mislead, you know, other people and things like this. Which, you know, it's common knowledge that this is what the intelligence community does. That's their job.
That's their job.
Right. Because we're, you know, we're dealing with national security matters here when we're dealing with things like this. And I, for one, would not want to jeopardize the national security
of the United States.
You know, and this is where I become also concerned, because I also seen that there was people that belong to certain groups that may have other motives and may take information that could be possibly, you know, very important and take it somewhere else,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, you know, that was a concern of mine, too. And like I said, we've got this one area here that's dealing with disinformation and classified projects and so forth. Then on the other hand, you've got these groups on a civilian basis over here doing their own thing, and also some of these people involved in all kinds of other activities and hidden motives and hidden agendas, so to speak, you know,
mm-hmm.
And spreading their propaganda.
Yeah.
And it's a very, very, narrow fence to walk.
It sounds very much like it is.
Right, because, you know, here again, you know, you can get involved in all these other things, and, you know, it's like getting involved in anything else. I mean, you can, your attention can be directed in to many different areas, and if you can go off on this one tangent over here and start doing research into that, and it's completely away from what you originally was doing to begin with, and
mm-hmm.
that was you know, the real research on the unidentified objects or whatever these things are. Now, if you come to a conclusion that, or not total conclusion, but if you come to at least some consensus that yes, some of these things are advanced energy systems or advanced aircraft or whatever, in my opinion, I did come to certain conclusions along those lines. That's when I basically backed off, and I didn't pursue any deeper in the theories like that, because I personally do not think it's anyone else's business when you're dealing with other types of, you know, projects and so forth,
mm-hmm.
That unless they want to make that known to people, you know, for whatever purpose, then I'll wait till the time they do.
Mm-hmm.
Just like I waited for the stealth aircraft to be presented. You know, I had some idea at that point in time, well, this is probably a classified aircraft when they were taking photographs of it and presenting it as a UFO in pictures and publications and things. I looked at it as something else.
This does present kind of an interesting paradox, I mm-hmm. guess is the right word for it, because I agree with you. I think there are probably there are projects that are probably legitimately classified. I'm sure there are.
Mm-hmm.
And we pay these people to do their job, and they're doing their job. But
right.
the problem is that, you know, you start getting into it, you're right. There seems to be a myriad of agendas and people who have their own motives for what they're doing, and it starts to get to be very tricky, a very tricky game indeed, because, you know, just like Jacques Vallée writing in his books that he's done so many of, mm-hmm. you know, that there was evidence of Eastern Bloc intelligence organizations' involvement in the UMO deal over there in Spain.
Right.
And I'm not mistaken, I think there was something said about the Billy Meyer case, too,
right,
that might connect to that as well.
And there was some mutilations in the Omo thing, too.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the thing is that, you know, this is a very, very tricky field. Indeed.
Yes, it is. I mean, you've got to handle things with kid glove care sometimes. You
mm-hmm.
know, you don't want to jeopardize anything.
Legitimate.
Right. That's legitimate and could possibly affect the national security of the United States if certain things are released or whatever. And at the same time, you know, you've also, when you're dealing with these different cases and so forth, you want to find out, like I said before, you want to find out who is the source of this information, when these questions, you know, all journalistic type of questions that's asked, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So far as this yellow journalism and stuff, that shouldn't go. You know, I think you should be straightforward with the public. And if you've got something that you can't release, you just up front tell them this is classified, and this is the way it is. I mean, this is the reason for it being classified. At some point in time, you know, like Kelly Johnson said one time, who was one of the developers of the Stealth project, he indicated on a national TV program that if you can talk about it, it's already obsolete. which indicates that we've got some hell of a technology.
You betcha. Now,
you know,
on that flip side of the coin, my question is, you know, if we're dealing with something that is extremely highly advanced, as from all indications, you know, the flight characteristics that are reported around these kinds of things, I kind of wonder, you know, and this is where I think my concern comes in, is if we're dealing with something that is that highly advanced, you have to ask yourself, what is the practical application or the military defense application, and why haven't we seen it? I mean, we've been dealing with this phenomena for 40, 50 years. And I'm wondering
how long the stealth thing went on until all of a sudden Jimmy made a mistake.
So you're right. You're right.
You know what I'm talking about.
Sure. Yeah.
Jimmy Carter. You know, he there was some information that was released and it shouldn't have been released. You know,
right,
at that point in time.
Right. Right.
And it was all came out in the open.
And then they had to release it.
Right.
Do you think we're going to see, I mean, in other words, do you think we could see this phenomena being used for adverse political purposes? I mean,
because it's a possibility. Any kind of technology can be utilized for any kind of purposes.
Because
I mean, it depends on who is in control at that point in time. You know, I mean,
right.
You know, it's like going over and taking over another country, you know, and changing the whole belief systems and the system the way it was, you know, that's a revolution, you know what I mean? And
mm-hmm.
and you have these coups and so forth that are taking place all over the world. So, I mean, yes, it is something to be concerned about, especially when, you know, all of a sudden you're looking at our CIA now, and you know, and over the years you've seen moles popping up left and right, you know.
Yeah.
That is significant, and it is disturbing. It's also disturbing to me to hear people talk in a derogatory fashion about the CIA.
Okay.
Because, first of all, there's a lot of things that the CIA has done.
That have been
there's a lot of heroes that have gone unsung.
Okay.
And they have no idea, just like in law enforcement, they have no idea the hell that these men have to go through to protect our country.
Okay, hold that thought. When we come back, we'll pick up where we left off about that, because I have a comment about that, too. 303-860-1280. We will continue with our last segment coming up next with my guest, Tommy Bland, so stay tuned. We'll get some closing comments as well. I'm Michael Corbin. You're listening to the Parent Continuum. We'll be right back.
You could travel deep inside the exotic jungles of Thailand or to the bustling cities of Vietnam and still enjoy no greater adventure in Southeast Asian cuisine than a fun new place now open called Hi Rocky.
Hi Ricky!
Yeah, whatever.
Hi Ricky is ridiculous.
Everybody says the food's great at Hi Ricky's, but you ordered 12 entrees, ma'am?
We have been waiting for years for a good Thai restaurant, and it is here.
Like the decor, it looks like a new place to come. So what do you think Hi Ricky means?
Gosh, I wish I knew, but I like saying it. Hi, Ricky.
Hi, Ricky. An unusual name for a very unusual Asian cafe.
Well, I came tonight because all my friends had told me it was a great place, so I wanted to come in and try it myself, you know, and they told me to try the Thai garlic chicken, and I did, and it was excellent.
Hi, Rocky.
Ricky.
Ricky. Now open on 15th between Larimer and Market, downtown Denver.
I'm eating out of a wok. What more can you say?
1280 Ralph.
Knowledge is a wonderful thing. To know is a wondrous verb. To be in the know is where we all want to be. At Waxman's, we know that. We also know that the more you know about something, the more you'll enjoy it. But we don't claim to know about everything. We just know everything about cameras. In fact, we know as much about SLRs, point-and-shoots, underwaters, and those new digital cameras as anybody on the planet. Maybe more. Why, we had to establish Waxman University just to find a place for it all. And then we dedicated it to helping you get the most out of any camera you choose, to put you in the know. That's why we throw in the free classes. Nobody else done that, because nobody, nowhere, no how, knows more about cameras than Robert Waxman.
Well, your memories come first. To make them laugh.
When you're on the job or just having fun, you need tires you can't count on. Whether in a car or in a truck, let us help you at Discount. Award-winning service with brand variety. Ask anyone and they'll tell you one thing. Discount Tire. Tires for one. Discount Tire.
When it comes to quality tires and wheels at low prices, Discount Tire Company truly is the one. So when you're ready to get serious, let BF Goodrich Radial and All-Terrain TA Tires be the choice for your new car or truck. Discount Tire Company and BF Goodrich, working together to bring you the quality products you can depend on and service ranked number one. So remember,
Discount Tire, Tires the one. Discount Tire, Tires. Discount, Discount Tires the one.
1280 Ralph.
At Headline News, it's all about time.
Here's today's top stories.
Now the network that fits your schedule wants to give you time.
At 15 past, time for business and consumer news.
You could win a relaxing coastal tour from Best Buy and Headline News.
In 20 past, here's the latest in sports.
Look for details at Best Buy or visit CNN.com.
Headline News, a whole day's news every half hour.
No purchase necessary. Call 1-800-208-7103 for official rules and mail entry details.
Bob, what's new? Last night I get in my truck and in the back seat is one of those supermodels. Says she always wanted to meet a man who owned a sauerkraut factory. We're eating sauerkraut. She's wiping juice off my chin. I get heartburn. I pull out my Rolaids and in under 10 seconds it starts working. Then she's gone and so's my heartburn.
Rolaid starts working in under 10 seconds. You expect me to believe that?
It's true. Rolaid starts neutralizing acid in under 10 seconds. R-O-L-A-I-D-S spells relief. Use as directed.
It could be. It might be. It is! 1280 Ralph.
Don't move, don't talk, have a time, don't think, don't.
minutes before the hour, and we are on the last stretch of the program for tonight. Tommy Bland is my guest, and Tommy, it would be an understatement to say that we got an education, because it's that would be an understatement. We really got entertained and educated, and you have been a very, very interesting guest.
Well, I appreciate it. We just touched the tip of the iceberg.
I know. We're going to have to do
a couple. A lot of other dignitaries and important people I've met over the years that's provided me with the bulk of information, you know. And as one well-known nuclear physicist told me, some UFOs are government aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
Is there any possibility that any part of this phenomena has any kind of esoteric connection, beyond just the Earth?
Well, you know, like I said before, there are many different areas, you know, different categories that makes the total of the phenomenon itself. You know, you have several different areas, categories, and this is the reason why you try to do scientific research, you try to gather the data, you try to look at all of the data,
right. Mm-hmm.
You know. You don't basically take any one pet theory and just become obsessed with that and just throw everything else out.
Mm-hmm.
Over the years, I have found where I have satisfied some answers to myself in certain areas.
Okay.
I know what to look for now.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I'm not like I was when I was young and naive, you know, like a lot of us are. You know, they say you're young and foolish, and that's true to a certain extent. When you get older, there's a certain amount of wisdom and knowledge that you acquire. And if you're smart, you use it properly.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, so I don't have to run out here every light in the sky and things like this. You know?
Right, right.
So I can pick up a telephone and call somebody and find out what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So, you know, there are those cases that pop up from time to time that I think really warrants a good scientific investigation. But there's a lot of junk out there, too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of nonsense.
I think it gets worse, too, as we go along.
Right.
Yeah.
It does. And, you know, that's what's hampering a lot of real good serious investigations now, is because of all of this this nonsense that's out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, Tommy, that's it for time. We're out of time, and I really can't thank you enough for being on the program. I want to have you back at another time to continue where we left off tonight.
Okay.
Okay?
Well, I appreciate being with you.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I really enjoyed it. That was Tommy Bland, and I want to, again, thank him for being on the program with us tonight. We're out of time. You can reach me at 303-863-0484. My number, again, is 303-863-0484. My email address is mcorbin@dimensional.com. And be sure and check out our website, too. Our website address is www.paranetinfo.com. Again, it's www.paranetinfo.com. Tomorrow night is Peter Gersten, who is now the director of CAUSE, the Citizens Against UFO Secrecy. And on Friday morning, we have Tracy Torme. So be sure and join us. Until then, I'm Michael Corbin, telling you to keep your eyes on the skies. Good night.